The United Nations said today that the whole of drought and conflict-racked southern Somalia is heading into famine as the Horn of Africa food crisis deepens. In a report for countries sending aid, the UN's umbrella humanitarian agency, OCHA, said the crisis in southern Somalia is expected to continue to worsen through 2011. As the crisis continues, Lydia O'Kane spoke to the Auxiliary Bishop of Westminster, John Arnold, who's president of the UK Catholic Aid Agency, CAFOD. He's currently in neighbouring Kenya and spoke of the unfolding situation.
There's a lot of interest, of course, in Dadaab and on the border of Somalia and Kenya. I'm, in fact, in central Kenya. I've been about 200 kilometres north of Nairobi, in just off the central highlands. And the thing is, that's hundreds of kilometres away from the real catastrophe, but it's all beginning to happen there. They've had 3 years without rain, and the drought is really beginning to affect the pastoral communities very much indeed.
Have you had a chance to visit some of the refugee camps?
Well, I've been with the local communities that are still trying to manage their pastoral communities. They're mainly Turkana people, and I've been to visit two of their communities where they are really getting into a pretty awful state.
What exactly is CAFOD doing at the moment to try and alleviate the terrible consequences of this drought?
Well, what CAFOD does is it works in local partnership with groups that are local on the ground. So we're working particularly through the Diocese of Isiolo, which is where I've been visiting, and with government and other agencies trying to meet the most urgent needs with the network that we already have through the Catholic parishes there.
It's a situation where conflict has played a large part in what's going on, and it's been compounded by drought.
Yes. The thing is that I think the world is becoming aware of the conflict zone where the drought is in its worst forms. I suppose my visit to Kenya has been to see that this drought region is having a much greater effect in a much wider area, with some 10 million people affected, and many of them just simple semi-nomadic groups who are very proud people, and they just find that now the one thing they desperately need is water, and on that everything else depends.
I mean, this has been going on for a while. The international community seems to be only just taking notice of it now. Could this have been looked at earlier? Could it have been almost avoided, do you think?
Well, I think with our growing knowledge of things about climate change, yes, this is a very good wake-up call for the international community to recognise that here it's in the Horn of Africa now. Where might it be next time? And we've got to be much more alert as an international community to read the signs of the times. This, as you say, is now a three-year drought. Well, various communities can manage really quite well when drought begins. They're very resourceful people, and they have a great ability to endure. But when you get 3 years down the line, the livestock have now died, the children are beginning to show all the signs of malnourishment, and there are real problems, and it's not just a question of water and the lack of it anymore. It's now medical requirements are needed, and the whole business of building up a community again when hopefully the drought soon finishes.
From what you've been seeing and hearing, is the security situation affecting aid agencies' ability to deliver aid?
Well, not here in Kenya, really. Up on the borders, yes, of course, the Shabab conflict is obviously impeding a lot of the work that's been going on. But in these wide regions, which include so many groups, so many small communities, there isn't any conflict, and really the door is wide open for the aid to come. What we're not terribly good about at the moment is actually alerting the world to the seriousness and the need for aid to be provided.
I mean, recently we had that UN summit which had governments pledging aid to the Horn of Africa, to the stricken regions. Again, that's being coordinated at the moment. But again, as you say, it's a wake-up call now.
Yes, I think, you see, organising this sort of aid for so many people is an enormous task. If we were, I think, more alert, if we're more conscious of the initial factors of drought, we get a bit too late to learn about the initial ones now, but for the next time, we must deal as best we can now to save as many lives as we can in the drought that's happening here. But we've got to learn the lessons about where drought begins and its fierce cycle of events that really can take communities years and years to recover from. And so to learn from this drought that the first signs are the important ones, and to be much more aware of that immediate response, which I'm sure saves so much of the worst effects of droughts ever having ever really taking root.
Yes, you were talking about learning the lessons, and yet you look back at many disasters that have afflicted Africa, looking back to, let's say, for example, the 1984 famine in Ethiopia. Again, a situation where there was conflict, where there was a famine, drought, starvation, and history is repeating itself again.
Well, in a sense, that's true. This is quite possibly a worse drought. People seem to say that it's the worst one in living memory. Did we learn the real lessons of 1984? Apparently not. We did a great deal then, and many people should be congratulated on the way that they persistently campaigned during that drought, that the world should realize what was happening. Now it's happening again. And we can't be complacent, and we can't leave it to other people. We've got to get on with the job of saving lives and preventing those communities that are now really under threat from being destroyed.
Just on a personal level, your role as a bishop, as an auxiliary bishop of Westminster, how does that prepare you for going out to countries like these where there's such devastation?
Well, yes, I have a role as president of CAFOD, Caritas, and so I've been to various places to see CAFOD working with its partners, but usually that's been where community development and livelihoods have been built up. This has been quite an eye-opener for me, and really quite distressing to see such proud people with such simple lives asking for so little, the basic need for life, which is water. And they really don't want much more than that. They'll provide for themselves if we can provide them with that one initial kickstart to survival. Well, I think the one thing for me is that the enormity of this crisis stretches way beyond the awful sights of the refugee camps. And yes, and our heart goes out, doesn't it, to those people in that sort of distress as political refugees and also people who are starving. But this crisis touches hundreds, thousands of communities in the pastoral areas of Kenya and Ethiopia, and we mustn't forget them. And there's still time to make sure that these communities don't suffer the worst effects of drought. And we've been so generous before, and we need to be again and to get on with the work now.